Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good evening, everyone.
For
those who are here, thank you for coming. It's not a holy day of obligation this year, which, by the way, if I just ruined it for your kids, sorry. Parents, glad you made them come. Today we're celebrating, as we end the year, one of the greatest celebrations. Deacon Tom and I were talking about that, how this is one of the best days to go to church, right? Is the first day of the new year or the last day of this year, to give the Lord everything back that he's given us and to ask him to bless through the hands of our Mother Mary the next year as we look forward to it. And so there's no better place to be. I'm glad that you're here, those who could come tonight. For the times where we have failed to live as Mary did, that is, where we've lived less than fully as disciples of Jesus, her Son and our Lord, let us call to mind our sins. I love preaching on Marian feast days. I hope you love hearing me preach on Marian feast days. When I was in seminary, I didn't see what the big deal was with Mary, at least not at first. I don't know why that was, actually, either, because typically you treat things in the spiritual realm like things are being treated in the human realm. What I mean by that is, if you have a good father, you have a tendency to think that God the Father is pretty good. If you have a bad relationship with your dad, you have a tendency to think that God the Father in heaven doesn't exist or doesn't care about you or is unreachable. And so similarly, in the spiritual realm, when it comes to Mary, I've got a great relationship with my mom and my grandmas who passed away. So I should have been all over, like, having a Marian devotion. But I went to seminary, I didn't. The only time I ever prayed the rosary before I went to seminary was when I wanted to get something from God. And I would pull the rosary out, and I would go to bed at night, lay in my room upstairs at the house on the farm, and I'd pull the rosary out, and I would just say, God, make so-and-so date me. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Those were my divine mysteries, you know, why these girls won't stay with me or won't date me. I thought it was a tool to get what I wanted, right? When I went to seminary, Father Bob Robeson, our rector at Brute up at Marian University, Bishop Brute Seminary up in Indianapolis, he had a huge devotion to Mary. In fact, I think one time, I don't know how he got it, but one time he met Mother Teresa, he was with one of her sisters who had a rosary from Mother Teresa. And he was on a plane and he was praying it and ended up giving it away to somebody else who really needed it. And he would go to Mary for everything he wanted to get done in prayer. And so whenever he started the seminary, whenever he was the first rector of the seminary, he said that every one of the guys who goes to this seminary will love Mary as much as I do. And so we were required to pray the rosary together on certain days of the week. Had to. Can't miss it. Had to do it. He'd even take up time during the holy hour so we'd all pray the rosary out loud together. Anyways, eventually, I thought, what's the deal here, right? Like, if I've got Jesus, and Jesus is Lord of all, and I can talk to him, and he will respond to me, why do I need the mediator? Like, why do I need someone in the middle? Like, who cares about Mary? I tremble saying that now. That's what my thought was when I was a younger man. Anyways, a mentor of mine, no other way to find the answer. And so I went to a mentor of mine who's now passed away. His name is Archbishop Daniel B. Klein. He was from our diocese originally, became a monk at St. Minor, then moved to a bishop to Memphis and then to Indianapolis. He was up there whenever I was in seminary up there, and so I got kind of close to him. And so I asked him one day, I just said, can you tell me about how I can grow with my relationship with Mary? And he said, in his quintessential way, he just nodded his head in silence, closed his eyes, and then said, it takes time. So that's not the answer I wanted, you know, like, give me practical things, right? He said, it takes time. And then he said, if you are faithful to her, she'll be faithful to you. If you're faithful to her, she'll be faithful to you. So from there on, I said, okay, when it's a Marian feast day, I'm celebrating. When we have the daily rosary in the chapel, I'm praying it with all my heart. I'm going to start carrying a rosary in my pocket everywhere I go. I'm going to buy a picture of Mary and put it in my room, on my desk, so I can see her when I'm studying. And even though I'm not feeling like I need to go to her, I'm going to ask her. I'm going to try it, right? I'll try to be faithful and see what happens in return. You know, there was a silent film, a black and white silent film, a mini film that came out a few years ago. I think it was just on YouTube. It was a French film. This is what I do in my spare time. I found this French film online, and it's like 10 minutes long, and it's about a couple who, there's no words, right? It's just music and then kind of acting. And it's about a couple, and you can tell that they're not in love anymore. They look middle-aged, maybe a little past middle-aged. And they're like at breakfast in the morning in their house, but as soon as one sits down, the other one pulls the paper up in front of her face or his face. And whenever the one person like goes to the sink and someone's already there, the other one like leaves really fast. When it comes time to leave, one of them looks back out like over her shoulder, over his shoulder, and the other one looks away. You know, you can tell they're not in love anymore. And so as this little story goes on, the guy is now out, like, off to work, I guess. He's walking down the street and he sees a beautiful woman and he kind of stares at her for a while. Then he sees some flowers beside the beautiful woman and she looks at him and he thinks about buying a flower and giving it to her. So he goes and he buys the flower and then it cuts back to the house. And the wife is sitting at the table reading a book and he comes in and she doesn't even look up or say hello. And he sits down at the table and he looks like he's defeated. And then he pulls a rose out from behind his back and he lays it on the table on top of her book. And she looks up and it's the first time they've made eye contact in this movie. And then it just simply ends, and it says in French, by acting like a man in love, he fell in love again. By acting like a man in love, he fell in love again. And I think there's an element of truth to that, in general in life, but also especially in our relationship with the saints, and in particular way with Mary. By acting like we need her, maybe we will. You know, I was reading today some different books from different authors about what they thought about Mary. I actually went to the catechism and read the entire section about, there's like no section about Mary except for the creed section. I read the whole section today in the midst of all my other stuff, you know, I was doing today. And as I was reading this stuff, I thought, man, there's so many good arguments, right? Why should we love Mary? Because she was spotless. Do you want to be spotless? Right? Why do you love certain people in the world? Because you want to be like them, right? Same thing with Mary. Why do we love Mary? Because Jesus gave her to be our mother on the cross. The last thing he did, besides before giving up his spirit, the last thing he did was, beloved disciple, behold your mother. And who's the beloved disciple? And you. Right? He doesn't say John. He says beloved one, right? He wants all of us to have her. That's another argument. Why do we have Mary? Because Mary was chosen, and don't you want to be chosen? I mean, there's so many, I could go on and on in the arguments, right? But in the end, the one thing that matters is God picked her to be with us. And what she can do is powerful. You know, just today. This morning, I started my day at 6 a.m. praying a rosary online. It's an Instagram page called Many Hail Marys at a Time. Anyone heard of Many Hail Marys at a Time? Oh, a few people. Okay, good. Yeah, some of you might have prayed this morning with us. Anyways, and so they pray the rosary every morning at 6:45 a.m. Central Time, and they bring a guest, like someone important and today I was the guy, right? But it wasn't me. They actually just used me to get to these other teenagers who were praying the rosary, and that was just I was the middleman, fine, right? And so these two teenagers from up in my hometown actually came down, one of their sisters and one of their dads brought them down for a 6:45 a.m. rosary on a Friday morning over Christmas break. And this freshman and sophomore in high school did it. They were asked to do this rosary because they had been praying a daily rosary since 2 Lents ago, not this Lent, not this month, 2 Lents ago, they've been praying a daily rosary, and they're teenage guys, right? That's how I started off my day. And when I took them to Donut Bank afterward, and I just said, thanks for being here this morning, and I don't think I'll embarrass him, but one of the boys, he goes, sometimes I like really feel the rosary, and sometimes I don't really feel the rosary, and I was like, been there, you know? And he said, and today, I like really felt it. I really felt it. While being, you know, on a phone and possibly distracted, I really felt it, he said. And then later in the day, today I met with a young man who's considering seminary, and I've been praying a Hail Mary for him every morning for a long time now. Every morning I pray Hail Mary for him by name. Anyways, and I was talking to him and had a big breakthrough in his vocation. I came by here today, earlier today. As I was going through the parking lot, one of our parishioners was dropping cans off in the aluminum can bin. I didn't know how that got filled up because I never see anybody over there. Anyways, he was dropping cans off, and so as I was going by, I recognized who it was, and I don't want to embarrass him, but So as I was driving by, I saw him, and so I stopped, and I rolled my window down, and his dad has been struggling here recently and with his health. And so I stopped and just said, "Hey, how's dad doing?" And he said that they've gotten good news and that he's doing really well. And he goes, "I think I'm breaking records with how many rosaries I've been praying." And what's happening? His dad's doing well. And he has hope, great hope. Actually, I don't want to tell the story because it's his story, but powerful things are happening there. That's just today, you know? I am so grateful now as I look back that I had a priest in my seminary who said, "It's worth it," right? Like, we as a community are going to make sure that everyone here has a devotion to Mary. Now, I'm saying this to all of you. Many of you have much stronger devotions to Mary than I do, and I have a pretty good devotion. And I know that because you guys pray better than I do, and you're more faithful than I am, and that's just how it is. I'll get there one day whenever I lose more hair and get older. I say all this to you knowing that half of you have already far surpassed me in your devotion to Mary. And thank you for that. I, as a priest, need that. Like, I need that. Like, this morning, as these boys were saying, they prayed a daily rosary for like 600 or 700 days straight. I was like, the lady on the Instagram account was like, "You pray the rosary too?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I don't have 700 days straight, but, you know, I try, right?" Like, and what I told her was, I said, they're so inspiring to me, right? We, even as priests, as people who are dedicated to living the faith wholly without a family, we need you, so thank you. But to the other half of you that are out there, the other part of you that are out there that don't have a devotion to Mary yet, I don't know how to tell you, but it's worth it. It's worth the patience. It's worth the struggle. It's worth the frustration of knowledge. If you've got Jesus and you go to him and it works, don't stop that. Mary would never want that. In fact, we say the image of Mary is the moon, because the only light the moon ever has, it's what's reflected from her son. So Mary would never want to take away attention from her son, but she does want to help draw you there. I mean, I love it whenever, you know, my parents have a farm stand up in Hobstadt and they come down to the West Side Franklin Street food market during the summers. And when someone comes to me and says, "Hey, I saw your parents," or my mom and dad come to me and say, "Hey, I met somebody from your church." I'm like, "Who was it?" They're like, "I don't know. She had like brown hair and was like glasses." And thanks, mom and dad. Whenever they come to me and they tell me that, like, the fact that you went to my parents, that my mother, actually makes me love you more, right? It's never going to make Jesus love you less or be angry because you went to his mom. He would have hoped that you would, and he hopes that you do now. I'm giving you all these reasons, right? Folks, today we celebrate Mary, the Mother of God. What does the church give us on the last day or the first day of the year? This one. Of all the feast days, we could do All Saints. We could do the chair of St. Peter, the authority of the church. We could do any number of celebrations. What the church wants to give us now on New Year's is a mother. If she's not yours yet, make that your resolution. Make this the year that you grow close or closer to her.